Praise the Lord. So good to see all of you this morning. Glad to have each and every one of you here today. I am Pastor Sharon, and this is Pastor Rock. And we want to welcome everybody. And if this is your first time at Oasis, I'm not sure if I see any new faces, but if this is your first time, we'd ask you to just raise your hand so our ushers can get a card to you. Amen. We just want to thank everybody for being here, and let's just give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. We're thankful for what God is about to do. Amen. We receive the word that God has got for us today because he knows how to divide the word of his word to minister to each and every individual person here today. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to just speak a word of blessing over you before I turn it over to Pastor, so be ready to receive. I declare in the name of Jesus that your finances are abundantly blessed. You honor God with your wealth. I declare you no longer live under the curse of poverty. The windows of heaven are open to you. The blessings of God are chasing you down and overtaking you. And whatever you set your hands to prospers. I declare God is liberally supplying all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is giving you power to get wealth. I declare the Lord blesses you and surrounds you with favor everywhere you go. I declare the Lord has commanded his blessing on you. You are the head and not the tail. You are the lender and not the borrower. God gives you wisdom to handle your finances, and he is bringing wealth and prosperity to you. God gives you blessings, amen? God gives you wealth and honor and blessings and prosperity in Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn over to Pastor.
Hear me? Yeah. Okay, great. It is neighbor looking time. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to smile at your neighbor. I want you to point at your neighbor. And I want you to say, I came
to receive
God's good word,
this day.
And I declare,
I'm ready.
Are you ready
to receive
God's good word
this day?
And I declare,
I'll never,
never,
ever
be the same
again.
In Jesus' name.
Glory
to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service. And Holy Spirit, we want you to have your way. Anything you want said, say it through me. Anything you want done in this service, do it, Holy Spirit. Show us what you want. Lead us, guide us, help us. Father, I thank you that the illumination of your word comes into our minds, into our hearts in a greater way today. We receive things we've never seen, and we hear things we've never heard. I thank you we receive greater revelation of your glory, of your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I want you to get your Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to share my heart with you just for a second. You know, the Bible is a history book. I mean, it is, in all actuality. And you could teach it as a history book. And there are people that are anointed to teach the history of the Bible. And they're God called, they're anointed to do that. And but that's not my calling. My calling is to teach the Word of God in a simple way. That's the calling on my life. That whatever message that God gives me, it is to be brought forth in a simple way that even a child could understand it. That's what I'm supposed to do. So I'm going to stay in my calling. Amen? And I'm going to teach you guys. I want y'all fed. It is my greatest desire as your pastor that you get fed. And so we're believing you're going to get fed today. Amen?
Amen.
Exodus 14, starting verse number 13. Title of the message today is Let God Fight Your Battles. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, Moses is telling the children of Israel, the Lord will fight for you. You will need only to be still. Now, at that moment, The Red Sea is in front of them, and they're fixing to go into the Red Sea. And behind them is the Egyptian army. They're chasing them. Now, you can say what you want to, but fear not, stand still. That's a good word, but it doesn't seem appropriate for this time. I mean, I'd be thinking, Moses, you got anything else? Is there something else you want to tell us, Moses? Because I need something else. This is not good enough. This is wonderful. But he's telling them, God's going to fight their battles. Now, sometimes in this situation, God was trying to teach Israel they were incapable of escaping the situation on their own. Hang on. There's a lot of situations we are incapable of escaping on our own. God wants us to know that it's going to take Him to fight our battles and win our battles for us. We can't do it with our intellect. We can't do it because we got it all together. No, God's going to have to fight our battles for us. And we're going to have to need to wait sometimes for God to do that on our behalf. This battle appeared to be between the Egyptians and the Israelites, but it was really between the Egyptians and the Lord. Exodus 14:14 again, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. God will fight your battles if you hold your peace and remain at rest. If you'll quit worrying about the medical report. If you'll quit being stressed out and upset about the people that are talking about you. If you remain at rest, God will fight your battles. If you're worrying about any situation, now let's check. How many of you have ever worried about any situation? Okay, we're all in the same boat together. Here's what I like. Because I don't like it when somebody preaches or ministers and I listen to them and I'm under the sound of their voice. And I personally don't like it when it's condescending. Like, I've never been in your shoes. I don't know what you're going through. We're all in the same boat together. There's nobody bigger than anybody else or littler than anybody else. We're all going through. Everybody's going through a battle. Everybody's going through a fight. So we're all in this together. Amen? So if we're worrying about situations, then God can't fight it for us like He'd like to. Because we're trying to do it in our own strength. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to make it happen. If you're fighting a financial battle, you might be being tormented with thoughts and questions. What are you going to do? The deadline is this date. What if you don't have it by then? But the Lord just wants you to give it to Him and pray about it and let Him fight it. Now, I'm not saying He won't give you a direction of something to do. There's things to do in the natural about situations like this, of course. But there's some situations He'll tell you to wait. Some situations He'll give you a prompting that doesn't make sense to our natural mind, but it is the answer to get us out of that situation. So one way for God to fight our battle is to pray and ask God for help. Now I want to give you a couple of illustrations today. One, there was this guy and his wife, and they had bought their first house. And it was a very old house, and it needed a lot of work, and they didn't have a lot of money. And they worked on this house, and they did everything that they could. And then fall came, and they're living up north, and it's getting cold. And they realize he's going to have to get the heater going. So he goes down in the basement, and he starts working on the heater, and he can't get the heater going. So it's him and his wife, and they don't have hardly any money. And so he starts calling the heating and air places, and they said, well, your unit is so many decades old, it's got to be replaced. There's no question about it. It must be replaced, and it's going to be X amount of dollars. They don't have the money. So they're going around their house with their coats on. It's getting colder and colder in their house, and they're wearing heavy winter clothes in their house. Well, they'd done this for a while, and the guy, you know, he tinkered with this thing over and over, and he didn't know what to do about it. And he went down to the basement. He said he's going to tinker with it again. He didn't know why, because he didn't know what he was doing anyway. And said, he cried out, Lord, what are we going to do? Now see, now that's the first thing. You want God to fight your battle, you ask Him to fight it. Tell Him that you need help. You say, well, He knows I need help. Ask God for help. Amen. Don't just take things for granted. Ask Him for help. Lord, what are we going to do? Says, this is Him. I cried out, sitting on a cinder block to think. Just then, something slid off the joist above and fluttered to the ground. A dusty yellow card. I picked it up. This was the date of installation for the furnace, many decades ago. Below the date was Mr. Doss, the installer. Mr. Doss, I puzzled over the name in my small town. Everyone knows everyone, and he seemed to recall a Mr. Doss. He called him up. He told him about his situation. He said, I've been retired for years. He said, would you consider looking at it? He said, I would. So he came by. He looked at it. He went back to his house. He got parts that he'd had from years before. He fixed it. Then he told him, it wasn't very much, and he had it running in just a few minutes. He said, it's just good that I had the parts lying around. He said, I'm probably the only person in the world who would for this old of a unit. God fought his battle. Now, I don't have many occurrences where a card floats down in the midst of my praying and asking for help, but I would say that was God's help and God fighting his battle. Sending the right person, the only person possible to work on it, that was God fighting his battle. Fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, they challenge everybody. The enemy, he'll defeat us every time in that realm. We must pray and release it to God. Let God fight it for you. Now, every time that worry thought comes, that doubt thought, that fear thought, let God fight it. Stop worrying over it. You are fighting the battle, and I am fighting the battle if I get over into that realm of worry. It's mighty quiet in this church this morning. The Bible says, why do you take the thought worrying and saying? If we worry, and if worry overtakes us, have you ever noticed we get our mouth going? We'll talk. We'll talk what we're afraid of. We'll talk what people say. We'll talk natural talk. Let me give you some of the definitions of worry. To strangle, to choke the life out of. Allowing our minds to dwell on difficulties or troubles. A state of anxiety or uncertainty over actual or potential problems. Torment. You ever been tormented by worry? I have. To afflict with mental distress or agitation. A feeling of concern about something bad that might happen. Give it to God and ask God for help. God will fight your battles. Could be a mental battle. Could be an emotional battle. Could be a physical battle. Could be a financial battle. Could be a job battle. Stand still and let God fight that battle. Be still and let God talk for you. Fear ye not and stand still. That battle may be playing over and over in your mind. And you're trying to fight it, but you shouldn't be. Because you're hindering God doing it. Are you tense or anxious? Then maybe you're fighting the battle yourself. Some battles we take on that God doesn't want us to even step in at all. And if you're worrying or if I'm worrying, we're trying to fight that battle ourselves. Now I got something that's kind of lengthy, and I need to read it because I'm going to miss some points of this if I don't read it. And you'll have to listen very closely to what I'm reading. Like I said, it's kind of lengthy, but it'll do you good. This just blessed my heart when I read it. In 2013, my company completed a large project that had been fraught with large cost overruns and put us in a negative cash flow position for 2 years. Closing out the project landed us in an uncomfortable six-month negotiation process with the client, which was scheduled to culminate with a final settlement meeting in early February. The night before the meeting, his wife and him had chosen a Bible story that they have at their house, like a home Bible study, and it was about King Jehoshaphat for our discussion. In the story, enemy armies have surrounded Judah, and a devastating attack seems imminent. Jehoshaphat calls the whole nation together to pray and inquire of the Lord about what to do. At last, a prophet comes forward with God's response. They prayed. Do not be afraid or discouraged of this vast army, for the battle is not yours. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. The rest of this, it says, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will give you. That's 2 Chronicles 20 and 15. The next morning, Jehoshaphat leads his army out to face the enemy with a vanguard of men singing praise songs to God. Then they watch as God sets ambushes for the enemy and defeats them. As we discuss this story, members of the group began to share about the battles they were currently facing in life and business. I explained the details of my company's troubled project and the stakes that hung over the next day's negotiation meeting. When we prayed, get this, I felt a strong conviction that God was directing me to use the same sort of strategy He had given to Judah all those centuries before. I've never heard anything like this. This is neat. The next morning, I got in my car and turned up my worship music and began to pray and sing to the Lord. About 30 minutes into the drive, I heard that distinct, still, small voice of the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. Get this. You are not to talk at this closing meeting. I knew this direction had to be of the Lord because it was ludicrous. I was the communicator, the negotiator, the mediator on our team. Our strategy was that I would lead the meeting and call on the other guys to add their expertise as necessary. Yet as absurd as the idea of me being silent seemed, I felt strangely peaceful about it. Aloud in the car, I said, "Yes, Lord." When I met up with the rest of the team, I launched into the story about Jehoshaphat, my singing time in the car, and the Lord's instruction to me. Unsurprisingly, I was met first with silence, then lively debate and discussion. I agreed with them that the stakes of the closeout were enormous and the strategy seemed crazy, if not impossible. I had never been quiet in a meeting in my life, and I had no idea how I was going to pull this off. However, in my experience, I explained most direction from God didn't seem to make sense at first, but it always worked out in the end, and I felt peaceful about this approach. Get this. We arrived at the job site. We filed in the conference room at the trailer complex. Introductions was made. I didn't say a word to anyone as we all shook hands. The contractor's closer opened the meeting and then handed it off to the on-site director. We led a back and forth, fact-finding discussion with my guys covering entitlement for issue at hand. This continued for over 2 hours, during which I continued to remain completely silent. He hadn't said a word in 2 hours. Finally, the closer said, "I've heard enough. Bob, come with me into the office." I followed him down the hall to his office and sat down facing him. "Here's what we're prepared to offer," he said, and named a sum. I sat back in my chair considering. Before I could reach a conclusion, the man interrupted my thoughts and said, "Okay, how about this?" and raised the offer. Again, I said nothing. That's what he was told to say? Say nothing. The number was better, but still slightly under what I've been prepared to accept. I looked down at my notes, praying for time, and silently asking the Lord, "What now?" Before I could look up, he spoke again. "This is my final offer." This time the number was good, very good. I looked at him and I smiled and reached out my hand to shake on the deal. Wasting no time, he led me back out of the office to the conference room, announced to the group that the deal was done, and instructed his team to draw up the paperwork, having it executed and processed the payment documents within 30 days. We all shook hands again, and they quickly ushered us out. I had not said one word the entire meeting. In the car, I delivered the amount of the settlement agreement, a number that had exceeded all of our expectations. We couldn't stop talking about this favorable, totally miraculous result. Before long, the guys were kidding me. "Well, Bob, I guess the lesson we learned today is that you need to be quiet." Sometimes the lesson we all need to learn is be quiet. Amen. Let God do the negotiating for us. Let God work the problem out for us. Let God fight the battle for us. Let God handle the situation that we think we got to put our hands in. 2 Chronicles 20 and 15, the very situation that he was talking about in the scriptures. He said, "Hearken ye all Judah and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not defrayed or dismayed by reason of this great multitude." See, we look at the size of our battle. We look at how bad this is, how bad the medical report is, how bad what their doctors are saying, what the, you know, the banks are saying, what this situation is saying, what our loved ones are saying, and it paints a very dim picture sometimes. "Be not afraid or dismayed by reason of the great multitude, For the battle is not yours, but God's. Look at your neighbor again and say, the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. Now in verse 12 of that same chapter, before this verse 15, it says, O God, will you not judge them? For they have no might. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we know what to do. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. They're praying, God, show us, give us direction. Then this word comes forth from Jehazel. The Spirit of the Lord comes on him, and he gives this word. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, verse 15, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Number 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. We want to fight in every battle. We want to put our 2 cents in, do we not? And a lot of us has got a lot more than 2 cents. A lot of us got $1.75. A lot of us got $10 and a quarter. Thank you very much. You can look at your neighbor and say, I think he was talking about you. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Fear not. We worry, we get into fear. Fear not. Fear not. We fear because we think God has left us. We think God can't handle this problem. It's so big. God can't handle this situation. God can't handle this report. That's the reason we're worrying about it. We're trying to help Him. Fear not, nor be dismayed, which means discouraged. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Skipping down to verse number 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers to the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And he went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. That's what the singers and the praisers were singing. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments. And you know the ending is everybody was killed except God's people. And they were 3 days in carrying the spoil off. That phrase they were singing, that's a little bitty phrase. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. But that phrase, and by singing it, it keeps the focus on God. Sometimes when we're going through something and we're worried about something and we're challenged to be afraid about something, we need to get us a phrase. And if you're a singer, you need to sing it. You need to be singing, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. It doesn't have to be that one. It could be anything. You sing some phrase that puts faith in you or releases faith out of you. You see something that keeps you in faith. Now maybe you say, well, I'm not a singer. Well, you got a mouth, you can talk. Talk. See, it kept their focus on God, not on the opposing army, not on their inability. That praising kept them in faith. So if we want to stay out of worry and fear and doubt and unbelief, one way, not the only way, but one way is to say a phrase that releases faith. You say, well, I've got financial problems. When money goes out, much more money comes in. Every time money goes out of your account, every time money leaves your wallet, every time money, you spend money, when money goes out, much more money comes in. If you're somebody it's on you, it's trying to oppress you, it's trying to get you to worry about the situation. When money goes out, much more money comes in. The glory of God is revealed in my finances. That's another short phrase, but it releases a lot of faith. The glory of the Lord is revealed in my finances. The woman with the issue of blood, she said over and over, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I shall be whole. I want to go there. Mark 5 and 27. This is the New English Translation. It said, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak. For she kept saying. She kept saying. One translation says she said over and over and over. She kept saying, if only I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. If only I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. She was saying a short phrase, and it kept her in faith. At once, the bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. She said that phrase over and over and over, and it kept her in faith. You can say something like that over and over and over, and it'll keep the peace of God on you and keep that worry and oppression off of you. It seems silly to say, the glory of God is being revealed in my job situation. Well, it don't look like it, Pastor. I didn't say what it looked like. Well, the glory of God is being revealed in my job situation. Say it. The glory of God is being revealed in my job situation. Say it. The glory of God is being revealed in my job situation. Say it. Every time you want to talk about it or worry about it, here's what you say. The glory of the Lord is being revealed in my job situation. Now, the Holy Spirit, He perfects things. And He gives us better. You know, we start out with something, and then He adds to, or He takes away, or He shows us a better way. He's our helper. The Holy Spirit may give you a better way to say it. He may have you say, the glory of the Lord is changing my job situation for the better. Or he may have you say, the glory of the Lord is changing my job situation for the better under grace in a perfect way. But see, now there's a lot of very, very, very intelligent people. And this little saying wars against their intellectual mind. That's silly. I'm not going to do that. Then you'll stay over into worry. You'll stay over into fear. You need something and I need something that's simple to get us out of it. And something that'll keep us in faith. Say, I'm getting better and better every day in every way. I'm getting better and better every day in every way. See, doubt, fear, unbelief, worry thoughts, they try to torment us. They play the worst case scenario. A phrase, saying a positive phrase in line with the word or scripture, saying it over and over, helps us not to fight our own battles by worry. Hearing a phrase over and over, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I don't know if y'all remember the song that we played on communion this last time. It was by Brian and Jen Johnson, and it was, you're going to be okay. It's going to be, gonna, G-O-N-N-A, if you're looking it up online on YouTube. And we took that song. We've got a little Alexa box that Benjamin gave us at the house, and you can just tell it to play music, and you can tell it what you want it to play. And so we told it to play that song, you're going to be okay, and it started playing that song. And then we found out that you could give it an instruction to loop it. And so I said, loop it. And it started loop, because I was drawing, my spirit was being fed by that song. And you understand, I've taught in here before, you feed your spirit man by hearing something over and over and over and over. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So our faith grows the more we hear something that's in line with the Word of God or is the Word of God. So that was just ministering to my spirit man. Honestly, I've heard this song hundreds of times. You say, Pastor, that's an exaggeration. It's not. We played it days and days and days and days, and the song is just going. As a matter of fact, I wonder if this is bothering Pastor Sharon. You know, because some things can get on your nerves or whatever, but I suppose not, because she was singing it. She'd walk through the room singing it, or she'd be humming it. And there's just something about it. There's so much peace on that song, and the lyrics of that song, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. It's saying it, I'm hearing it, and it's saying it over and over and over. And it just gets down in your spirit. No matter what you're going through, you need to hear something or you need to say something to keep you over there out of fear and worry and unbelief. That's how you get it down in your spirit. Say, okay, let's do this. Say, all is well.
All is well.
Say, God is fighting my battle.
God is fighting my battle.
Say, now Patty did this morning. Say, God's got this.
God's got
this is straight from my notes. Say, the glory of God.
The glory of God.
The glory of God
is being revealed
in my body. The glory of God
is being revealed
in my sleep.
The glory of God
is being revealed
in my
finances. The glory of God
is being revealed in my marriage. The glory of God is being revealed in my mind. The glory of God is being revealed in my body. The glory of God is being revealed in this situation. Like I said, if you're a singer, sing it. If you're not a singer, say it. Use whatever phrase that the Holy Spirit gives you. When thoughts of fear try to torment you, say something. Hang on. When worry attaches itself to your mind, sometimes worry will bring such an oppression, such a darkness that you can't see anything. Now, some of you may not know what I'm talking about, but I think most of you do. You can get over into worry so bad that just you can only see a little bit of light. A little bit of light. That's the reason the day and time we live in now, we're going to have to be so careful of how we speak to people. Because some people have no light. And we're going to speak to them harshly and it's going to push them off the edge. And we're going to wonder what happened to them. And it was our words, our wrong words, that didn't minister to them. We're going to have to be very, very careful with our words in the day and time we're living in. When thoughts of fear or worry try to torment you, say something. The glory of God is on my mind. When your body is hurting, say out loud, the glory of God is on my body. Words are in spoken words are in a higher realm than thoughts. Thoughts come and thoughts go. What if? What if? Thoughts questioning thoughts. What if? What if this happened? Worst case scenario. What if that happens? Words are higher rim than thoughts. So we try to fight our own battles by figuring out a solution in our minds, and we're not capable of doing it. We're trying to fight in ourselves. Let God fight your battles. Pray. Then say a phrase to keep you in faith. The glory of God is manifesting in my life today. Peace be still. Be it unto me according to your word. Sometimes you and I try so hard to fight our own battles, but it keeps us burdened down. It keeps us in turmoil. Okay? I'm going to go here for a second. I've told y'all before, you know, about the roof situation. You know, the roof situation, we go through the walking or whatever around the inside and outside of this building, and the roof, it needs to be replaced. And we need a sprinkler system. We need a certificate of occupancy to get in the back. It's going to take a fire system to get that. I mean, it's just one thing after another and after another. And then it's raining. When it's raining, it's coming in. And I tell you, sometimes I'm not God's man of faith and power. Sometimes I'm thinking, you picked a fine time to leave me Lucille. I mean, sometimes it looks like, oh my God. And I tell you, I'm telling you from personal experience, what's helping me is now I don't let that thing get a hold of me like that. Now I take it quickly, and here's what I do. When the thoughts of this roof try to come at me, what I say is, the glory of God's on this roof situation. The glory of God is working this roof situation out. See, I don't know what to do. I don't have the ability to do it. I'm not gonna pressure you. I am not that kind of pastor. We're going to force things to happen. That's not who I am. I'm not going to do it that way. We're going to let God do it. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. I'm not saying there aren't things that I should be doing. He'll show me and He'll lead us and He'll guide us all together. But I'm saying one thing that I can do when I see the things that I see, one thing that I can say is the glory of God is on this situation. When your finances at your home get too low, you need to be saying, the glory of God's on my checkbook. The glory of God's on my finances. The glory of God's on my bank accounts. The glory of God's on my debts. You say, well, it's just a phrase. I'm telling you, it's a God phrase. And God's in it. And His glory will be revealed. When you say it, hearing it causes faith to rise up. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's much better to talk about that than it is the problem. The problems will keep us burdened down, keep us in turmoil. Declare the situation works out under grace in a perfect way. See, you may be under the sound of my voice today and you may be thinking, quitting that job or quitting that marriage, that's the only way. But that would be taking the matter into your own hands. Leave it in God's hands. It's God's battle. He'll fight for you. Just rest. Ask Pastor Sharon if she'd come. I want to say this while she's coming. All is well. God's got this. God's got my back. As money goes out, much more money comes in. What if you got a bad doctor's report? Pray, then say, the glory of the Lord is being revealed in my whatever area, in my lungs, in my heart, in my arms. The glory of the Lord is being revealed in my legs, in my joints, in my body. Okay. As she's still coming, I want us to say this. We're going to say this over the church. The glory of the Lord is on the church finances. The glory of the Lord is on the church attendance. The glory of the Lord is in the services. The glory of the Lord is on the teachings. The glory of the Lord is on the praise and worship. God's glory changes everything. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I know Pastor Sharon brought it out last week, but we still have a miracle sitting back there. And she's getting better. She's talking better. Everything about you, the glory of the Lord is being revealed in your situation, in your body. You had a stroke, but those effects of that stroke, the negative effects of that stroke, the glory is removing any negative effects of that stroke. In Jesus' name.
Glory to God. Amen. And there's another miracle with Wilford. Amen.
Yes.
God
yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
God is doing great things.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That was an awesome word this morning, wasn't it?
Praise God.
Something that we can all take with us. Amen. And just feed off of and just remind ourselves. And I wrote down, don't speak the problem, speak the answer.
Amen.
Don't speak the problem, speak the answer. Amen.
Amen.
Because we want to speak the problem and we want to speak it over and over and over and over to as many people that will listen to us. But let's just stop ourselves and say, wait a minute. Who am I looking to?
Uh-huh.
Who am I trusting in? Amen.
Uh-huh.
And start speaking and agreeing with God. Agree with Him. Amen. Because He is over everything. And so I want to get under Him. I don't want to get under my problem.
That's
amen.
Right.
I want
That's
to get
right.
under my God.
That's right.
So just start speaking the answer. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Glory to God. Give God another hand clap of
Glory
praise this morning.
Glory
and
God.
Ask Ashley
Glory
or
God.
Whoever's going to close out the service this morning to come. And let's just bow our heads in prayer right now. Father, we just come before you this morning and we thank you, Father God, for ministering to our hearts and our minds and our emotions this morning, Father. We thank you, God. You are in control. You are the mighty God. And we give you all praise and glory, Father God. And we just ask you, Lord, that all through this week, Father God, that we surrender our fears and our worries and our anxieties and our thoughts to you. In each and every day, in each and every way, Father. And we thank you, Father God. We give it to you. We give every problem, every situation, Father God, we give it to you. And we'll be ever so mindful through this week, Father, to speak your word, to be in agreement with you, Father God, and not our problem. And we give you all praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.